The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Thanks for choosing the weekly podcast from Radio Today. I'm Stuart Clarkson, in for Trevor Down again this week. And the Radio Festival is back for 2017 in a new season. It's moved from the autumn to the spring. May the 23rd is the date. It's going to be at the British Library in central London again. And we can talk now to this year's host, Colin Murray.
Budget cuts have led to changes in hosts. And, you know, when times are tight, there's only one man to call.
How are you feeling about it? It's a big industry event in front of your peers.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm a radio nerd, you know. It wasn't a natural love. It wasn't like a, you know, when I was younger, I wanted to write. I wanted to work for newspapers as a news reporter. I kind of fell into radio by accident. But once I was in love with it, you know, it underpins most of my days. So I don't mind a few more nerdy sessions. I'll be okay with that. I'll be looking forward to that. So, yeah, no, I'll enjoy it a lot.
And it is a sign you've made it, because the people who've done this before, Paddy O'Connell, Jane Garvey and Fee Glover, Radcliffe and Maconey, Nikki Campbell, it's a big long list. It's kind of, you know, recognition for you a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good that finally the racist booking policy of the Radio Festival and ignoring all people from Northern Ireland has been, I'm only joking. You know, it's really good. It's really good to be asked to do it. Didn't have to think twice, of course. And it's actually got the call from a guy called Neil Sloan, who works in the commercial sector now, but I used to work with back in the day at Radio 1, and he's a proper radio head as well, you know. It's very nice to be asked to do it.
And are you involved in planning any sessions, or are you just a case of turn up and do what you're told on the day?
I've sort of offered, if there is the need or the want or the desire to do a sort of radio fighting talk, which we've done before from the Radio Festival, be more than happy to put something together. Or if they want to do something fighting talky, we would certainly do that, I think. But I've already had a few messages from a few old bosses saying, don't say something stupid when you're introducing this for a session. There's a few nervous ex-bosses out there. So there's been a lot of good humoured texts going back and forward between them. But I will be in my best behaviour, I promise that.
Because the radio fighting talk, I was listening back to it not long ago, actually. There was one you did in Glasgow with, I think it was Mark Storey and John Myers and Phil Riley and Scotty McClue. That was good crack, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, and because it's not, you know, it's not going out sort of on daytime radio as Fighting Talk does, it's good because we can get our nerd on, you know? And if you put the right... It's like the way Fighting Talk works, you know, the people who come in, they're so varied, you know? You have a comedian in one seat, an ex-sports person in the seat after, a presenter in the seat after, a broadcaster in the seat after. And the thing that sort of ties it together is you have to be genuinely passionate about sport, you know? You can't be level-headed about it. You have to sort of bring in the ludicrous of being a sporting fanatic to studio. And I think when we do the radio fighting talks, it's very similar. We always tend to pull people together who are intensely passionate about the art of radio. So we'd certainly be up for doing one again, but maybe they just got better sessions, you know? Maybe they've just found, you know, enough people to fill the gaps, but we'll see.
And obviously you've had some radio people on Fighting Talk. Kellner's a regular, Ellie Aldroyd, Liz Kershaw, and now you want Parky back on.
Well, when I first started Fighting Talk, Richard Park was the, in kind of many ways, the scariest man alive. You know, he would come in to do Fighting Talk. He would take it intensely seriously.
And he'd done Fame Academy then,
hadn't he? I hadn't done it yet.
But he had.
He had done it, yeah. And so people knew him from that. But obviously, you know, it's a man with radio coursing through his veins. And he would come in, he would put the panel away. You know, he would be... And to me, he kind of was what Fighting Talk still has to be, you know? So I take points off people who say nice things to each other in the studio because that's not the Richard Park way. And then when he went to work at... I think it was... might not... Simon, my producer, will know, but I don't know where he started.
Got to Magic,
he went to Magic first, didn't he? And there's a few things of like, you know, well, this might be a bit of a conflict. But now he's like boss of everything, isn't he? Like, I think he might run the Foreign Office or something like that for the government. So he does so much that he can have people killed, so he can come on Fighting Talk. There's nobody who's going to be able to stop him, so I'd love to get him back on. But yeah, we do have a good lot of radio heads come on. Lamo doesn't come on enough. Steve Lamack's brilliant in Fighting Talk. We don't have him on too much. We got Greg James coming on, you know, the little kid, little Greg, love him, little Greg. I remember when he started, I remember his first day, bless him, when I was on with, I was on Weedith in the afternoons, and I remember the first time I met him, he's wearing a full cricket kit. Eleanor Aldroyd, of course, First Lady of Fighting Talk, and more recently, in terms of broadcasting, Kelly Cates, who I obviously have a soft spot for, of course, because of her family history. And I met her way back a long time ago. I've known her for quite a long time. But also, I love her in the radio. Her and Ridey in 606 are brilliant. And Kelly just has to laugh for me to give her a point. She gets so many points for her expertise, and then she always gets about five extra just by looking in my direction during fight and talk. So...
And obviously,
she knows that, by the way. So it's quite embarrassing, to be fair. It's all one-sided.
At 6 months back at the BBC now, how were those 3 years at TalkSport?
I loved them.
How different was it working in commercial radio?
It was a very different technique, very different process. I have to say, there were some fallacies, the idea that commercial radio was completely fixated on listening figures. I found that to be, if anything, the opposite. You know, maybe I was just lucky with my bosses, but they brought me in for a reason, which was to be me. You know, I was taking over from a show that was a lot more straightforward, Keys and Gray. And I think the idea was, look, we just want you to do you, so you do you. And they left me alone. They never once interfered with any editorial at any time. And it was a wonderful experience from that point of view. And of course, we talk, how many times has radio been declared dead? Probably, you know, like 10 times it's been declared dead in the last 20 years. You know, anytime anything's invented, it's declared dead, isn't it? You know, the mini disc player, radio's dead. Streaming, radio's dead. Yeah, you know, good shows are good shows. And we got, you know, not wanting to sound a bit arrogant, but we posted all-time high ratings for that slot. You know, considering TalkSport started sort of roundabout or before the internet was invented, to be able to do that in the modern era and post a figure that no one's ever posted in that slot showed that we sort of done something right. Now, and that was largely down to the bosses leaving us alone to do her thing. Rage Our Day, probably a bigger thing at the BBC than it felt a bigger thing at the BBC than it did when it was a TalkSport. But the other side of that, mate, is the budgets are low. You know, so a lot of it goes on talent. Terrible word, that. But, you know, I had so many different co-presenters and I used what budget I had for that. So I think we were sort of sitting outside of that at about 60 to 80 quid a week. So what I was doing a lot of the time is, you know, it was a really small team, really good team, but really small. So, you know, if we wanted to run three or four packages in the show, well, I needed to make a couple of those at least, you know. So using Logic Pro every day, learning how to properly design my own stuff. And it so... Now I've definitely got much. I've always been a little bit of a sort of presenter stroke producer in what I do. I've never really read very often other people's words, you know. So I like to put everything, sort of be involved in the process, but even more so with TalkSport. So it definitely made me a better presenter. Really enjoyed it, yeah.
And people will be aware of the reasons you left, and we don't need to go into that.
But good.
I suppose, yeah. But I guess you were fortunate in having the profile that you'd got to be able to say, right, well, I can walk away from this and I know I'm going to get some more work. And there are other people in the industry, in commercial radio, can't put their morals above their mortgage.
Yeah, absolutely. It depends. And that certainly wasn't part of my thought process. Did panic a bit about, like, I have no radio. And I had to say that since my very first radio show, you know, when I was like 23 at Radio 1, which is a weird way to start your radio career, by the way. So I've never had to say that. And actually, it became a lot more about when Fight and Talk came to me and said about coming back on. That was a real bolt from the blue. And I was kind of like, not financially, of course, because you go from five shows to one, but creatively, it was a lifeline. And I actually found not having as much radio has been an issue. I'm doing a 15-part series now for Five Live over the summer called At Home, which has really filled the gap, you know. And I've been doing some pilot stuff for other BBC stations, and hopefully that'll come to fruition next year. But it was really weird to all of a sudden have a lot less radio, because when I used to do Fight and Talk, I had Friday nights and I did Sundays for a while. Oh, I had other work. And it has been weird only having one show a week. It's not enough. You know, when you've got radio in your blood, you know, an hour a week, it just doesn't placate me at all. It doesn't satisfy me at all. And that's when you know you're properly hooked on radio, you know, when you needed to define your everyday. You know, so I did 5 weeks of Danny Baker's show. That was fantastic.
Yeah, well, he was in
I'm not saying the show was fantastic. I'm saying it was fantastic for me to have that. So thankfully, right now, I'm making a 15-part series for Five Live, and that's really sort of filled the void every day. And that, again, that gets back to sort of the different skills you learn at different radio stations, because I'm editing that, producing that, you know, I'm doing it sort of all. It's a very DIY project. So that's been a lot of fun.
And I know you're on again for Danny in a couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, the one week stand. Yeah. just filling in for 1 week. I need to get a co-presenter for that, actually.
So what's your dream job in radio then? If you could have another daily show on any station anywhere, what would it be?
It's a weird one, because I suppose it probably right at the beginning, you know, the evening session was pretty close to that. And it was between Zane Lowe and I was doing a session in Northern Ireland, and they had to decide between him or I to take over. And Zane got it, and then they had to awkwardly come to me and say, Zane's not available for 6 months. Would you mind doing it for that period? And I was like, yeah, no sweat. Like, I don't care. I'm not career motivated, you see. I don't care about that, you know. So I just think about, like, would I enjoy? So I did that for 6 months. I was lucky to do that for 6 months. And then when we moved to the afternoons in Radio 1, it was taken over from Mark and Lard. And I remember we were brought in, and it was like, look, we're going to give you a daytime show during the week. And Edith and I were like, oh, fantastic. Who are we replacing? And they went, Mark and Lard. And talk about bursting a bubble when they tell you they're taking away your favourite show and everyone's going to hate you for the first 3 months. But then it was explained to us that they were leaving. They weren't, so we're like, okay, that's different. And Radcliffe was lovely. He was like, you know, if I could have picked anyone, it would be you two. And he was fantastic. So that was good. So dream shows, I mean, I've done the John Peel slot for 3 years. It doesn't really get much better than that. And then Fight and Talk, and coming back to Fight and Talk as well, and having, you know, if I appreciated it the first time around, I kind of worship it this time around. So I think I've been lucky. I think I'd be greedy to choose another radio show, because I've been so lucky to have sort of like the afternoon slot on Radio 1, I think, is a really special slot. I think the Peel slot is otherworldly special, and it was such a privilege to do that for 3 years, and then Fight and Talk as well. So I suppose it was being greedy. I would say, Kirsty, get a move on, will you? Desert Island Disc needs a new host. But first of all, I'm not good enough, and second of all, I would never want her not to do it. So I think I should probably be happy with my lot when it comes to that. But outside of that, because radio's my thing, you know, like, I know I'm all right at radio. It, you know, I always get good ratings, and the radio kind of been lucky enough to do well there, and when sort of 4 or 5 goals there. But TV's the opposite, you know. It's TV. I've done the worst TV shows you could ever imagine, and a few decent ones, but I'm generally, my TV career is the opposite. So the only dream I really have in broadcasting as a whole, and I've said this a million times, and it's on my website, on my agent's website, and my actual official biography on her website, I just want to host Countdown, you know, like, that's all I want to do, just, you know. And at some stage, surely I'm old enough to do it, you know, like, you know, when Jeff Stelling had finished, because I know the guys up there, you know, I do Dictionary Corner, so I've just finished doing it actually for the finals of Series 76. So I'm very nerdy about Countdown. I've loved it my whole life, and I probably for that reason, I just kind of want to go grey quicker, you know. I'm thinking next time I go there, just saying I've got a bit of a bad back and stuff, maybe a little walking stick. So that's the only thing I think that would be up there with any radio show.
We'll get it sorted. and Richard Park might be listening to this, so let's make that final plea for him to come on Fight and Talk.
I think Richard listens to this podcast in advance and decides what he wants to go out in it. I think that's the way it works. Well, I think it's about time that the king came back to his throne. He abdicated it for very good reasons. We understand that he fled the BBC fearing for his life, but now he can return a hero. And I think it's time, Richard, for you to take your rightful seat. 11 wins out of 12. You need to show this new generation of Fighting Talker what it really means to scrap for points for punditry. You'll be the best at it. It's time to get the claws out again. Listen, Dickie, I know you've downloaded this. Get your act together.
Thanks, Colin. We'll see you at the festival next month.
My pleasure. Take care.
Stay there. This week's Radio News is next, and then David Lloyd's Radio Moments.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Now time for the top stories from radiotoday.co.uk over the last 7 days. And we start with the news that Star Radio North East has been saved from closure at the last minute. UKRD has transferred the licences for Darlington, Durham and Richmond to View TV Group. It's after UKRD's CEO told this podcast last week he was open to offers ahead of the station being shut down. View TV will run it in partnership with presenter Darren Short, who was recently working on High FM in Oman. Meanwhile, Ofcom's approved UKRD's request to broadcast Minster FM on the Thirsk and Northallerton transmitters used by Star. Russell Brand is back on air with a new weekly show for Global's Radio X, save for a few programmes on TalkSport and a one-off for XFM. It's his first regular gig on the radio since the Saxgate scandal that saw him leave Radio 2 back in 2008. Ofcom has taken over regulation of the BBC from this week. It's put together new draft operating licences for the BBC's radio services, and there's a consultation going on about those until July. The regulator, meanwhile, is investigating a complaint made about Radio 1's Lolathon for Comic Relief, which saw Scott Mills and Chris Stark on air for 24 hours, raising £275,000 for the charity. It's understood the complaint is about Essex girl jokes. The BBC says no offence was intended. And the nominations are out for the British Podcast Awards. Well done to Radio Folk past and present, who are shortlisted in the various categories. They include Edith Bowman, Adam Buxton, Sam Walker, Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode. Too many others to mention as well. You can see the full shortlists at radiotoday.co.uk. Oh, and this man is also nominated for a British Podcast Award for his Conversation series.
From Luxie to Radio 3, 100 years of history. These are David Lloyd's Radio Moments.
It's 35 years now since the Falkland Islands were invaded by Argentina, and its radio station was the first port of call for its armed visitors.
Well, now, the situation, as you might hear, is that the radio station has now been taken over. We have three Argentine members.
We have everything recorded in two tapes.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, well, just a minute.
Okay.
Okay,
go ahead. You
wait a minute, please.
Go ahead.
We've been taken over, the radio station, as expected, by the Argentine invasion force. I still hope that we can get His Excellency the Governor's message to you. Sir, what do you want to speak to the people?
Do you want to tell? Tell the people to wait some minutes. The chief is going to communicate them what we want for the population.
Just a minute. If you take the gun out of my back, I'm going to transmit that to you. If you take the gun away. But I'm not speaking with the gun in my back.
Gripping stuff, so beautifully British too. The Falkland Islands Broadcasting Service this week in 1982. Manchester's original commercial radio service, then called Piccadilly Radio, launched this week, 43 years ago.
Roger Day.
And it gives me great pleasure for the very first time to say a good Tuesday morning to you. Hit music for the Northwest, we are Piccadilly Radio.
Piccadilly Radio.
So April 2nd we were on, and Good Vibrations, and thanks to the rotten turntable, it wowed in. So, and it was rebroadcast on all other stations, so I thought, what an amateur.
9 minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock, 261, hit music for the Northwest. A great pleasure to say that. This, for you, is Piccadilly Radio.
I can remember very clearly there being a debate at the time as to the appropriateness of Piccadilly, and again, from the IBA, stuck their noses in, you know, unbelievably, looking back, the idea that they could actually tell you whether you could call it Piccadilly or not. And they eventually, after great humming and hawing, decided that it would be acceptable to call it Piccadilly. But also, the question of doubt was whether it really was Manchester or whether it was London. You know, anybody based in London, as the IBA was, would have thought, well, it was a London name, you know. But anybody's in Manchester, they're probably scarcely aware that there is a Piccadilly in London. Their Piccadilly is Piccadilly Gardens and Piccadilly running up to the railway station in Manchester.
Piccadilly, now Key 103. 6 years ago this week, a change for the BBC's national DAB services.
So, with the time approaching 6 o'clock, the moment has arrived. In just a moment, BBC Radio 7 becomes BBC Radio 4 Extra. And Jim Lee will be here to be your guide. And I'm back on Monday, so have a lovely weekend.
On DAB Digital Radio, on digital TV and online. BBC Radio 7.
Good morning, I'm Jim Lee, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to welcome you for the very first time to BBC Radio 4 Extra, the digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. It's Saturday, the 2nd of April. If you've been a regular BBC Radio 7 listener, there's plenty that you'll recognise.
Farewell Radio 7 this week in 2011. I wonder if there'll ever be another one. It's 13 years now since Chris Tarrant ended his Capital Radio days with a surprise phone call.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, not you, not you as well.
Barking Norwegian bird called Ingrid. It's up to you. 95.8, Capital FM.
It's you.
The final one. Bless you. It's Mike. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you, sir.
Actually, I'm not the love.
Nothing like me.
Nothing like me.
I've never gone tee-hee in my life. It's up to
I've
you.
I've got, actually...
Have you married a Norwegian called Ingrid?
Well, he's very welcome. He's very welcome.
You have?
Actually, I've got that mad Norwegian bird called Ingrid laying next to me now.
Nobody's laughing.
Mike Osman calling into Chris Tarrant's final show on Capital this week in 2004. Chris had been there 17 years. And back then, in very different times, his 8 o'clock audience stood at over 400,000 adults. It's now around 150,000. Another former Capital breakfast host was Kenny Everett. And Kenny died this week, 22 years ago. And what more can anyone say about him? Let's just listen.
It's really most amazing that the station that we're crazy over has a sound that's absolutely new.
There's radio this and radio that. Oh, what a bore. But there's never been a stereophonic station before. Bringing you all the hitty poos and bringing you all the fun. A Capital brings you all the stars and jollity by the ton. If anyone asks you why you're smiling, just remember, pal, stereophonic Radio Capital.
On Big L this week, it's 6 o'clock. The Rabbit Breakfast Program. At 9 o'clock, it's Tony.
You must be joking.
Windsor. At 12 o'clock, it's Dave.
That's a lovely one there, Minish.
At 3 o'clock, the man of whom everybody is saying absolutely nothing, Mr. Ed Stewart. At 6 o'clock, the first man in the Western world to make a death-defying leap from the Whispering Gallery and live, Everett of England. So don't forget, all you transistorized people, it's all here on
Big Girl.
Farewell, Kenny, heard there on Capital and on Pirate Radio London. It's amazing to think that Radio 1 and Radio 2 were still sharing FM frequencies as recently as 1990. It all ended this week.
Now, at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, Charlie Chester makes his FM debut on Radio 2, as Radio 2 no longer hands over the 2 hours from 5 o'clock to Radio 1. Yes, we've FM all the way for you now, for the very best.
The end of Radio 1 and 2 sharing FM this week in 1990. Meanwhile, at Radio 4, this week, 47 years ago, a new schedule to help define the network more clearly. It saw the introduction of many much-loved programmes, including The World Tonight, then with Douglas Stewart.
I used to think, I'm talking to one person and one person only, not to listeners.
Also, Start the Week started.
This is Radio 4, now at 9:05, here's Melvin Bragg to Start the Week.
The wonderful Weekending began.
And that is the end of this edition of Weekending, in which you heard the voices of David Jason, Bill Wallace...
And we heard the first edition of PM.
The sound of the tables being turned in this first edition of the PM programme, the Home Secretary, Mr. James Callaghan, will be getting his own back and interviewing me.
The launch of PM this week in 1970 as part of major Radio 4 changes. So with Terry Wogan starting Breakfast on Radio 2 45 years ago...
I was perhaps a little too abrasive, a little too fast.
BBC Wiltshire Sound launching with Paul Chandler 28 years ago.
Good morning, this is BBC Wiltshire Sound, putting the Wiltshire back into radio.
Simon Bates taking over the top 20 from Tom Brown 39 years ago.
Ed Bush is at number one. I'm off to rehearse for next week.
The launch of County Sound 34 years ago.
Good morning, this is Frank Muir, live.
And BBC Radio Manchester reverting to its launch name 11 years ago after 18 years as BBC GMR. Those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Excellent, as always. Credits this week to my guest, Colin Murray, and to colleagues at Five Live, Simon Cross and Lucy from Reputation Communications, for their help in making it happen. I'm at Stuart Clarkson, if you want to look me up on Twitter and let me know what you thought of the podcast this week. Trevor Dan is back next week from his holidays, and he'll be talking to people at Charles Parker Day in Sheffield. Join him for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.